This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.
One of the big questions is,
what is money?
For practical purposes, it exists in a series of heterogeneous databases, very different databases.
Do you believe in crypto?
Digital currency may be an answer.
But it is a highly speculative asset.
I do own Bitcoin.
There is no second best.
Welcome to the Crypto Curious Podcast, your weekly crypto crash course. Every Wednesday, join us in the dynamic world of cryptocurrency as we cover everything from major news stories to short, sharp news bites. Whether you're starting out or a crypto veteran, we've got you covered. Tune in, laugh and learn. It's crypto made easy. Today on the show, we look at the Solana congestion issues that have made for some very unhappy traders. The Blast blockchain, a unique layer two solution with a native yield function, and a Grayscale finally done selling through their ETF. This news and more on the podcast today. My name's Tracy, and once again, it's myself and Blake on the mic. Hey, Blake, how are you going today?
Good to be back, and lots of exciting news again this week.
As always, there is lots of exciting news. And let's start with some really good news. Reading yesterday that the average crypto portfolio is almost up 3K so far this year. And if we look back in 2022, the average investor suffered a $7,000 loss.
On average, right?
On average, yeah. So everyone's happy.
Mate, everyone's in the green, you
everyone's
know?
Everyone's in the green.
But maybe not euphoric yet.
No,
you know?
No. Well, that's good. We've still got a way to go.
Yeah. Well,
how many days crossed. Out? How many days out on the count for halving?
What are we, 10 days, 12 days?
I think it's not even that.
11 days, it looks like.
There you go. Exciting times ahead. And the market's looking good too. I think we just overnight touched $72,000 again.
Hitting the all-time highs. So definitely found some consolidation here to chill out for a little bit and, you know, hopefully moving higher in the coming months.
Exciting times to come. Let's move in now to our story number one. The talk of the town for all the wrong reasons this week was Solana and their congestion issues. Solana saw its biggest loss among the 10 top cryptos late last week, and it was because of these congestion issues. Solana, including Wormhole, Jupiter, as well as some of the other memes, Dog with Hat and Bonk, all posted some decent loss. What happened here, do you think, Blake?
Yeah, because a lot of the meme coin activity is happening on Solana, it's attracting a lot of people that can transact for very low cost, which is then encouraging more trading activity because people can move around without the friction of you know, being stung by high fees.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, the network has become really congested. Now, the promise of Solana was that it could process 65,000 transactions a second. And it sounds like if they're getting congested at this scale that the network is, then they're quite a way off that.
Okay. And have they come out and said that they're going to get this fixed anytime soon? Because this has been 4 or 5 days in a row now.
Yeah. You know, with these things, I don't think it's a quick fix. That you generally have to let the backlog, or what they would call the meme pool, to process.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are getting failed transaction messages when they try to do a transaction on the Solana network, for example. It just times out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the transaction fails. And I think this is contributing to the problem because then people try to do three, four more.
And the bots get involved as well because people are using bots to try and front run at the same time.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, it's an interesting phenomena because with Ethereum, you can't do that many transactions because it's so expensive.
So expensive and
but then it stops the network from being spammed in this way. So there's this weird dynamic between, you know, cost and throughput that, you know, I assume there's an optimal threshold for different use cases in the crypto industry.
Mm-hmm. So is Solana faster than average like PayPal and MasterCard then?
Yeah, For sure. The blocks on Solana are said to process every 400 milliseconds. And if their vision is true, that's 65,000 transactions every 400 milliseconds. Well, I doubt that they're getting anywhere near that.
At the moment.
Obviously Solana is still very young, and these blockchains take, a decade or more to build out, and it's a continual evolution of improving the code base and its performance. But it seems that, it should be able to handle the throughput that's currently being put through.
So coming back to those transactions per second, you talked about Solana there, which was 65,000 transactions per second.
It's meant to, yes.
Yeah, and Visa's 24,000.
Per 400 milliseconds, sorry. Yeah.
And yeah. Visa's 24,000 per second. And now they're saying it's meant to be Bitcoin Lightning Network is a million. Is that true?
I'm not too sure on the figures.
That's the claim. It's pretty mental.
Yeah, I think that they do throughput tests on these things to check how many it can handle on their test network, so it doesn't cost anything. But obviously the real environment is quite different to, a test environment.
Yeah. And what's Ethereum, like 15?
Yeah, something like 15.
Wow. Look, so does this damage Solana's reputation? I mean, people can't do what they want to do on there right now, and they're going to move to...
Yeah. Yeah, we had this problem on Ethereum last cycle. It got congested, the meme pool. I remember looking at the Bitcoin meme pool at one time, and it was like a month to get through your transaction at a certain price. This is just part of the whole scaling issue that blockchains have.
Well, it looks like a lot of people would get a little bit fed up with this and move across to other layer twos such as Base, who's gaining a lot of popularity at the moment, and we spoke about that just last week. Moving on to our next piece of news, let's go back and talk today about something we spoke about on last week's show, a protocol that's been gaining a lot of buzz in the crypto space, Blast, and its groundbreaking token, BlastUp, launched on Blast blockchain and offers a unique layer two solution with a native yield. And it's been getting a lot of attention, hasn't it, Blake?
That's right. This is from the founder of Blur, which was quite a popular NFT marketplace that used some smart tokenomics to take a majority market share.
Took over from OpenSea. Oh my golly, it went into obscurity so quickly. OpenSea was the number one for so long, and then
right.
Blur took over.
And they had some smart tokenomics and pulled across a lot of their customer base. Mm. And now the founder of that said that, there's potentially some improvements to be made to some of the layer twos on top of Ethereum.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an opportunity to develop native yield on some of these chains because there's a lot of idle liquidity sitting on decentralized applications like, for example, Aave or Compound or Uniswap or on decentralized exchanges. And his idea is to put this idle capital that's sitting on smart contracts on these layer two solutions to work. And the way that he does that is that he purchases Steth. Now, Steth is a staked Ethereum, which has a native yield of 3.5% to 5.5% per annum.
Getting deep down the rabbit hole here.
We'll get into Steth in a minute, but this means that all this idle capital that's sitting on some of these decentralized applications is generating 3% to 5% a year, and that can cover fees for a lot of these services. Mm-hmm. Or it could be like, for example, if someone builds a game on top of Blast and then, you have some tokens on there just sitting idle, it can generate a passive yield which cover fees associated with using the game or the platform.
Right.
And it creates this new market dynamics for business models that previously weren't possible. Now, we can jump into Steth just quickly to talk about what that is. Now, you need a minimum of 32 Ethereum to stake and generate a yield to be a validator on the Ethereum network. But there's these services like
Rockapool
and Lido where you can deposit just one Ethereum and generate the yield, and they'll issue you a token back that's equal value to Ethereum, and it's called S Ethereum.
Yeah.
Steth. ST Ethereum.
Which is staked Steth. Ethereum.
Staked Ethereum.
Yeah.
Right? And then you can use this in the ecosystem, and that's natively generating a yield.
Mm-hmm.
So basically everything that gets locked up into a smart contract on Blast will now go to purchase, or all the Ethereum will go to purchase Steth, and there'll be other mechanisms that they use to generate a yield, for example, USD stablecoins. So whenever you're using the network, you're getting paid to use the network, which is fascinating.
So instead of having your Steth just sitting there, it's going to...
Not exactly. So whenever you use Blast, you deposit your Ethereum into a smart contract for some purpose for lending, borrowing, or for providing it to a liquidity pool. On the back end, they'll use some smart mathematics to then use that to go and buy Steth.
Right.
So then you're generating your 3-5% yield.
Right, okay.
And, you know, it's still kind of locked in a smart contract, so it's really safe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so that means all the liquidity or all the capital on the network is being put to work with this like back-to-back kind of contract to kind of cover costs associated with using the platform and to create value.
So when did they launch the Blast Up token? How long ago?
I'm not sure. I haven't actually looked into the token. I'd be more interested in the tech.
Usability.
Yeah. Ah. I'm here for the tech, Tracy.
Oh, nerding out. Sounds like you are. Okay. Interesting. This is interesting. Okay.
I think it's going to attract a lot of capital to the layer two, because if you have large amounts of money locked up in a liquidity pool, you are earning on it, but you could earn another 3-5% more than it's going to attract a lot of people across to it that currently are missing out on that on other chains.
Thank you for giving a bit of an insight into that one, Blake. We'll move on to our next story. So good news here. The struggling firm Genesis Trading has finally completed its sale of $2.1 billion worth of Grayscale Bitcoin spot ETF. And what this means is the high Bitcoin sell pressure has significantly reduced now, Blake. We've all been waiting for this, haven't we?
Yeah, the sell pressure has been going on for months. And you know, the reason that it goes on for months is because they don't want to dump all of it all at once. It doesn't make sense. They'll say, hey, we want to sell down our $2 billion, you know, 100 mil a day or $50 million a day. So it doesn't affect the market price too much. And once that, you know, they roll out of their position, then, you know, the buyer pressure starts to push the price up again.
Okay. And what has the net flow data look like on the spot Bitcoin ETFs recently?
Yeah, it's been relatively flat the last couple of weeks. Before that, we got some massive spikes. You know, we chatted about a couple of weeks ago getting the biggest daily inflows, like $1 billion of net inflows into the Bitcoin ETFs. But now, you know, we're seeing, you know, more modest, like a few hundred million dollars a day, or a couple hundred million dollars a day, even some days less, you know, like $20 million. You know, I think this is going to come in ebbs and flows. We talked about last week that JP Morgan and Goldman Sachs are now becoming accredited kind of resellers of the product. So, of course, they'll be going to their customer bases over the coming weeks and months to sell that to their customers.
And speaking of JP Morgan, these guys have predicted that the Ethereum spot ETF will eventually be approved. Let's chat about that for a minute. What are your thoughts on the Ethereum? Because we are, what is it, 9th of April? I've got probably another month.
Well, we know how long Grayscale and others were in court with the SEC trying to push this one along. Now, obviously, they've made massive inroads by getting the Bitcoin ETF approved. But there could be hesitation here because Gary Gensler has been quite opaque on whether or not Ethereum is a security or not. But Bitcoin was always kind of quite clear that it wasn't classified as a security compared to the other coins. And there might be more pushback from you know, the approvals board on this one. And I think ETH is fundamentally more interesting because it's going to generate a passive yield.
Yeah.
So how that plays into the structure of the ETF, I'm not really sure whether they're just going to go with a straight Ethereum ETF first up, or then they might have a yielding ETF.
Well, there was two filings in the last couple of days for leveraged ETFs, which I find interesting. Like, they're going hard and fast on those.
Yeah. Oh, good for the super.
Getting a bit ahead of themselves on those ones. Yeah, so I think we are a little bit ways from Ethereum on that one. Do you think that elongates the bull market though?
Yeah, hopefully. You know, this could get approved anywhere from May to, you know, potentially the end of the year. And I think that's going to attract a lot of
kind of want that to drag out a bit, don't we?
Yeah, potentially. You know, I think that would change the dynamic of the bull cycle quite a lot. You know, we've seen the Bitcoin ETF come out quite early in the cycle, which we've seen a lot of momentum, create a lot of momentum, and then this could, you know, make the cycle longer.
Okay, on that one, we will take a break, and when we come back, our short, sharp news bites.
Hold up. Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Crypto Curious podcast. We're about to dive into our short, sharp news bites. I will let Blake go first today.
A Silk Road Bitcoin wallet worth $2 billion has been moved by the US government. On-chain data says 30,000 Bitcoins. And it's just crazy to think that this is still going. The Department of Justice seized 50,000 Bitcoins as part of the Silk Road failing. So, yeah, it just goes to show these drag on for a long, long time. You know, even the FTX administration or liquidation, there's been some contention over that over the past week. Have you heard about that?
No, what? Tell me.
First thing is that creditors will only be getting back the dollar amount that they had owed to them at the point of time as the administrator was appointed. Now, Solana was at like, I think, $20 then or $30. And now, as we know, it's about $200. So, you know, people are going to be pissed when they, you know, didn't have the exposure. And then secondly to that, you know, there's rumors going around that the administrator has been selling at a massive discount, you know, a 40 to 60% discount to institutional buyers of the Solana tokens, which is an absolute rort. So
play administrators, honestly.
Yeah, these administrators, I think they're charging $1.5 million US a day or week that, or something
yeah,
like that.
I think it was a day.
So there is going to be there's potentially going to be a surplus, but these surplus funds may have to go back to shareholders. But there are various government departments in the US that are putting different sorts of fines onto FTX, the company, one of them for about $2 billion. Mm-hmm. So the excess funds may end up just going into the government's treasury.
That is just
yeah.
Dirty dogs. Moving on, fueling the memes mania on BNB. So Binance just trying to get involved with things here. Binance Chain is kicking off a meme innovation battle. Up to $1 million in rewards are being offered up for developers who create meme coins on the BNB chain that reach a certain trading milestone. So I don't know. This just seems a little bit desperate to me because base is where it's at, folks. But no, you know what? Good on them. I think obviously they're trying to get amongst it and move everyone across to BNB. So I'm sure there's some stipulations around what these meme coins can, you know, be. Or but anyway, there you go. Good work, Binance.
I might just point out that this is really like putting gasoline on the fire. You know, I'm not sure if it's the best fire to be putting gasoline on.
Look, they're trying to get a piece of the pie. So there you go. What's up next?
A fun one here. EU regulations may require licenses for DeFi front ends. Now, of course, the back end of DeFi are decentralized blockchains. The front end is how we interface with them on our computers through a website or a decentralized application. And according to MakerDAO, the founder named Rune, EU financial regulators may require all DeFi front ends to hold a MiCA license, which is kind of like a financial services license here in Australia, and that they would have to have KYC-enabled or locally hosted solutions. Now, you know, just projecting forward, what could this look like? It means that, you know, if there is registration in a particular jurisdiction, it's going to be harder to use and more clunky than potentially a solution that's built, you know, offshore in a fully decentralized way with no, you don't need to, you know, use these intermediary services like KYC providers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Regulation, fun stuff. Okay, Coinbase partners with LightSparks to provide Bitcoin Lightning support. Though Coinbase are really far ahead of things here. So this collaboration, which leverages LightSparks' enterprise-grade infrastructure and AI-based optimization tools, will streamline Coinbase's Bitcoin transactions and set the stage for a broader payment application. So I mentioned earlier in the show about just how fast the network was. So this integration will bring this adoption forward, I guess. And yeah, I think this is, you know, Coinbase have got their hands in everything at the moment.
I don't think I've ever heard so many buzzwords in one sentence. Enterprise-grade infrastructure and AI-based optimization tools to streamline Bitcoin transactions. God, saying all the right things.
Coinbase, there you go.
The wormhole airdrop claim is now live. So there is a bridge between Solana and Ethereum-compatible blockchains. And Wormhole, the bridge, has launched its token via an airdrop. And it created so much activity, which is one of the contributing factors to the congestion on the network. There was about 400,000 crypto wallets that were eligible to claim the 678 million W tokens. A bit of a frenzy here.
Yeah, I know a lot of the traders in my groups were a part of this. Yep. They all got tokens and they're all, again, worthless. Trying to sell. No, they were all trying to get rid of them. So this is why a lot of congestion happened, a lot of dumping. So, okay, Coachella doubles down on Web3. They launched a new Avalanche-powered game for all the festival goers. Fans are able to complete quests and do fun things, scavenger hunts, collecting stamps, all part of the NFT, getting points. So, again, we talked about the fact that the ticket was an NFT a few years ago, again this year. So they're able to unlock exclusive prizes. Some positive NFT news.
Yeah. If I was going to buy a Coachella ticket, it would be just for this. I couldn't wait to do my quests of getting out there. PayPal enables stablecoin to fiat options for international money payments, which is, of course, always been one of the major use cases of blockchain. Now, you're using an intermediary like PayPal is going to make things easy initially from a user experience point of view, particularly existing customers. But, you know, the idea of the technology is to use it independently of third
parties. I was just going to say, isn't that just what Bitcoin's for?
Or stablecoins, you know, exactly. Decentralized stablecoins.
Finishing up, Japan's Sony Bank has tested a yen-backed stablecoin. The Sony Bank is testing the issuance of a yen-backed stablecoin on the Polygon blockchain. The stablecoin is being considered as a potential payment method for businesses utilizing the Sony Group's intellectual property, such as games and sports, which is odd, seeing as I've just been talking about a bank. So, okay, interesting. So, apparently big news for one of the biggest banks in Japan. That's it, folks, for the show today. There was a lot of short, sharp news bites, but we're in crypto. A lot happens in this space. Craig's definitely back next week, so he will be here. The three of us will be on them. I did say that last week, but he will be back next week. Again, thanks for diving into the crypto world with us. If you've enjoyed this journey, then bring a friend along next week. We are all part of this evolving world together. Until then, stay curious, stay connected. You can do this by joining us on the Crypto Curious Facebook group or our Instagram page, and be sure to hit the subscribe button where you're listening to the podcast right now. If you're planning to DCA into the crypto market, please have a look at the Bamboo app. Don't forget to use the code CURIOUS for $10 of free Bitcoin to get you started. There's a link in the show notes below. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.
Bye, guys.
You have been listening to an EquityMates Media production. In the spirit of reconciliation, EquityMates Media acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. This podcast is intended for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general advice only and has not taken into account your personal financial circumstances, needs, or objectives. Before acting on general advice, you should consider if it is relevant to your needs and read the relevant product disclosure statement. And if you're unsure, please speak to a financial professional. The hosts of this podcast and their guests may have positions in the companies mentioned. EquityMates Media operates under an Australian Financial Services Licence 540697.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.